Welcome to the Immeasurable Podcast at the Krishnamurti Center in Ojai, California. This series reflects upon Krishnamurti's work and how it directly impacts the listener. The invitation is to inquire together into the fundamental nature of our existence.
This is the second dialogue between Jay Krishnamurti and David Bohm in Ojai, California. 1980.
Hope you had a good rest. In our dialogue between yourself and myself, we were saying time is conflict.
Yes, well, yeah, psychological time. Yeah.
Time is the enemy of man. And that enemy has existed from the beginning of time, beginning of man. And we said, why has man from the beginning taken a wrong turn? A wrong path, in quotes. And if so, is it possible to turn man in another direction in which he can live without conflict? Because as we said yesterday, the outer movement is also the inner, same inner movement.
Yes.
It's no inner and outer. It's the same movement carried on inwardly. And if we were concerned deeply and passionately to turn man in another direction so that he doesn't live in time, but has a knowledge of the outer things.
Yes.
And the religions have failed. The politicians, the educators, they've all been never concerned about this. Would you agree to that?
Yes, I think the religions have tried to discuss, you know, the eternal values beyond time, but they don't seem to have succeeded.
No, that's what I want to get
or even
at.
Sometimes the,
to them, yeah. It was an idea. An ideal, a thing, a principle, a value, but not an actuality.
Yes, well, some of them claim that to some of them it may have been an actuality, but I mean.
But you see, most of the religious people have their anchor in a belief.
Yes. Well,
they're anchored in a principle, in an image, in knowledge, in Jesus or in something or other.
Yes, but I mean, if you were to consider all the religions, say the various forms of Buddhism, they do try to say this very thing which you are saying in some way.
To some extent, but what I'm trying to get at is, why has man never confronted this problem? Mm-hmm. Why haven't we said, let's end conflict? Or rather, we have been encouraged Because through conflict, we think there's progress.
Yes, to overcome opposition.
Yes, yes, yes.
It can be a certain source of stimulus to try to overcome opposition.
Yes. And if you and I saw the truth of this, not in abstraction, but actually deeply, can we act in such a way that every issue is resolved instantly, immediately, so that time is abolished?
Psychological time is
abolished. We're talking about psychological time. And as we said yesterday, when you come to that point when there is nothing and there is everything, and all that is energy, and when time ends, what is there a beginning of something totally new?
Yes.
That's what we came up yesterday.
As if there isn't, then the whole thing falls flat, right?
Flat.
I mean, it only drives you back into the world, right?
Yeah, yes. Is there a beginning which is not enmeshed in time? Now, how should we discover it? Words are necessary to communicate.
Yes.
But the word is not that thing. So, what is there when all time ends? Psychological time, not the time of...
The time of day.
Yeah. Time is the me, the I, the ego. And when that completely comes to an end, what is there that begins could we say... That the ashes, out of the ashes of time, there is a new growth. I know all this is. What is that? We came to that point yesterday. What is that? Which begins, that word begins implies time too.
Well, whatever you mean, that which arises.
That arises. What is it?
Well, we were discussing yesterday that essentially it's creation, the possibility of creation to something.
Yes. We said creation.
Yes.
Is that it? That is something new being born each, not time, you see,
yes.
Each something new is taking place.
When it's not the process of becoming, you said.
No. Oh, no, that's fish. I mean, that becoming is the worst. Mm-hmm. That is time. That's the real root of this conflict. We are trying to find out what happens when the I, which is time, has completely come to an end. I believe the Buddha is supposed to have said Nirvana.
Nirvana.
Nirvana. And the Hindus called it Moksha. I don't know, the Christians may call it heaven or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, the Christian mystics have had some similar...
Similar, yeah. Yes. But you see, but Christian mystics, as far as I understand it, they're rooted in Jesus, in the church, in the whole belief. They've never gone beyond it.
Yes, well, that seems so. I mean, as far as I know, anyway.
Huh?
As far as I know, that they...
Even, say, for like a man like, what's his name? Thayada Sharda.
Yeah.
He was great, you know, all the rest of it. He was deep believer. Now, we've said belief, attachment to all that is out, finished. That's all part of the I. Now, when there is that absolute cleansing of the mind of the accumulation of time, which is the essence of the me, what takes place? Why should we ask what takes place?
Well, you mean it's not a good question.
I'm just asking myself. Why should we ask that? Is there behind it a subtle form of hope? A subtle form of, say, what? I've reached that point where there's nothing. Would that be... That's wrong question. Wouldn't you say consider that?
Well, it invites you to search out some... It invites you to look for some hopeful outcome, yes.
Yeah. I won't eliminate that too.
Mm-hmm.
If all the endeavor is to find something beyond the me, that endeavor and the thing that I may find is still within the orbit of me.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
So I have no hope. You're quite right. There is no sense of hope, and there's no sense of wanting to find anything.
Right. But what is then moving you to inquire, you see?
My inquiry has been to end conflict.
Yes, but we have to then be careful that you don't, you're liable to produce a hope of ending conflict.
Huh?
We are liable to fall into the hope of ending conflict. That is the danger.
No, there's no hope.
There's no hope, yes. No.
The moment I introduce the word hope, there's a feeling of the future.
Yes, that's desire.
Desire, and therefore it's of time.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind puts all that aside. completely, I mean it, completely, then what? Then what is the essence of all this? In sort of my question, what is the... No, I put wrong question, sorry. Is my mind still seeking or groping after something intangible that it can capture and hold?
Yes, that's...
And if that is so, it is still...
Well, that's still desire, right?
Yeah, it's still part of time.
Yes.
Desire and subtle form of vanity.
Hmm. Why vanity? I mean?
Vanity in the sense I've reached.
Oh. Really, self-deception.
Right? Yeah, deception and all forms of illusion arise from that. So it's not that. I'm cleaning the decks as we go along.
Well, essentially, it seems you're cleaning the movement of desire, you see, in its subtle form.
Yes, subtle form. So that too has been put away. Then, what I... If, as we said the other day in another discussion, there's only mind. Right?
Yes. Well, we left the question somewhat unsettled because we had to ask what is meant by nature.
Yes.
If there's only mind, because nature seems independent.
But we also said all... universe is the mind.
You mean to say nature is the mind?
Part of it.
The universal mind.
The universal mind.
Not the particular mind. Yeah. Huh?
The particular mind then is separate.
Yes.
But we're talking of the mind.
Well, you see, we have to make it clear because you're saying that nature is the creation of universal mind.
Which... Yes.
Nevertheless, nature has a certain reality.
That's all understood. That's all understood.
And but it's almost as if nature were the thought of the universal mind. I mean, it's the way you're...
It's part of it. Now, I'm just... So I'm trying to grope after... Mm-hmm. If the particular mind has come to an end, then there is only the mind, the universal mind. Right?
Right.
Huh?
Yes, well, if it has, you see, we have been discussing the particular mind groping through desire and so on. And we say, now, if all of that has stopped.
That's just my point. Mm-hmm. If all that has completely come to an end, what is the next step? You know,
yes.
What's the next? Is there any next? We said yesterday there is a beginning.
Yeah.
We also, that word also implies part of
time.
Yeah.
Well, we won't say so much beginning, and perhaps ending. You know that the
The ending. We've said
ending, right?
Ending.
Right. But now, is there something new?
Yes. Is there something which the mind cannot capture?
Which mind? The particular, the universal? Right?
The particular has ended.
Yes. Are you saying the universal mind cannot capture it either?
That's what I'm finding out.
Are you saying there's a reality beyond the universal mind? Or something?
Yes. So is it, are we playing a game of peeling off one thing after another? Like an onion skin, and at the end there's only tears and nothing else?
Nothing. Right, well, I don't know, I mean...
Because we said there's the ending, then the cosmic mind, universal mind, and behind, is there something more?
Well, would you say this more is energy, or...?
We said that. We said.
But is it what you mean, the energy is beyond the universal mind?
I would say yes.
Yes.
Because the universal mind is part of that energy.
All right, I understand that, yes.
Huh?
Yes, that is understandable.
That's understandable, that's not.
That in a way, the energy is alive, you're saying.
Yes, yes.
And also intelligent.
Wait a minute.
Perhaps
yes.
In some way, well, insofar as it is mind.
Now, if that energy is intelligent, why has it allowed man to move away in the wrong direction?
Well, I think that may be part of a process, something that was inevitable. In the nature of thought, you see, that if thought is going to develop, that possibility must exist.
Oh, I see what you mean.
To bring about thought in man.
Is that the original freedom for man?
What?
To choose?
No, but... That is, thought has to have the capacity to make this mistake.
But if that intelligence was operating, why did it allow this mistake?
Well, you can suggest anyway that there's a universal order or law, and the.
Well, that's a. The universe functions in order.
Yes, and this is part of the order of the universe that this particular mechanism can go wrong.
No.
That if a machine breaks down, it is not disorder in the universe. It is merely part of the universal order.
Yes, in the universal order, there is disorder where man is concerned.
It's not disorder at the level of the universe.
No, at a much lower level.
At the level of man, it's disorder. Right?
Disorder. And why has he lived, from the beginning of man, why has he lived in this disorder?
Well, because he hasn't. He's still ignorant. He still hasn't seen the point, right?
But if he's part of this, of the whole.
Yes.
And in one tiny corner, man exists and has lived in disorder. And this enormous conscious intelligence, this enormous intelligence has not.
Yes, well, you could say that the possibility of creation is also the possibility of disorder. That if man had the possibility of being creative, then there would also be the possibility of a mistake, of something. It could not be fixed like a machine to always operate in perfect order.
No. Huh?
I mean, the intelligence would not have turned him into a machine.
No,
that would be incapable of disorder, right?
Of course. So is there something beyond the cosmic order, mind?
Yes. Now, are you saying that the universe, that mind has created nature, which therefore has an order that is not merely just going around mechanically?
No.
It has some deeper meaning, right?
Yes, that's what we're trying to find out.
Yes. So you're bringing in the whole universe as well as mankind.
Mankind.
But what makes you do this? You see that. What is the source of this perception?
What is the source of what?
Well, of what you say.
What?
Well, about the universe and about the mind.
We said just now,
yeah.
Let's begin again. Mm-hmm. There is the ending of the me as time.
Yes.
And so there is no hope. All that's gone, finished, ended. In the ending of it, when there is that sense of nothingness, which is so, and nothingness is this whole universe.
Yes. It's the universal mind, the universe of matter.
Yeah, the whole universe.
Yes. Now, what I'm just asking, what led you to say that, you see?
I know. To put it very simply, the division has come to an end.
Yes.
Right? The division created by time, created by thought, created by this education, so on, all that, because it has ended, it's obvious, the other.
Well, you mean that without the division, then the other is there?
Yes.
To be perceived, right?
Not to be perceived,
but
it is there.
It is there, but then how do you come to be aware that it's there? It's just... What?
Yeah, quite. How do you come to be aware that... I don't think you become aware of it.
Yeah, then what led you to say it?
Would you say it is? Not I perceive it or is perceived.
Well, it is.
It is.
Well, you could almost say that it is saying it.
What?
In some sense, you seem to be suggesting that it is what is saying.
Yep.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Huh?
Yes. I didn't want to. I'm glad you put it that way.
But I mean, it's implied in what you're saying, right?
Yes. And where are we now?
Well, we say the universe is alive, as it were, and mind, and that we are part of it, right?
Yes, we are. We can only say we're part of it when there is no
division.
No division. I'd like to push it a little further. Which is there something beyond all this?
Well, beyond the energy, do you mean?
Yes. we said nothingness and everything, that very nothingness is everything, and so it's that which is total energy. It is undiluted, pure, uncorrupted energy, right? Is there something beyond that? Why do we ask? Why do we ask?
I don't know.
I feel we haven't touched.
Huh?
I feel we haven't. I feel there's something beyond.
Uh-huh. Well, could we say that there's something beyond, as it were, the ground of,
huh?
of the whole? That is, you're saying that this all emerges from a more inward ground, right?
Yes. There's another. I must be awfully careful here. So, you know, one must be awfully careful not to be romantic, not to have illusions, not to have desire, not even to grope. It must happen. You follow what I mean?
Yes, well, we're saying something, that the thing must come from that, right?
What?
Whatever you say must come from that.
From that, that's it.
It sounds
rather presumptuous.
Yeah, without you're actually seeing it as a, no, it's not that you look at it and say that's what I've seen.
Oh no, that's not, then it's wrong.
There's the division already. But of course, other people, you know, it's easy to fall into delusion in this sort of thing, right?
Of course, but we said delusion exists as long as there is desire and thought. That's simple. And desire and thought is part of the I, which is time. Everyone knows that. And when that is completely ended, then there is absolutely nothing. Therefore, that is the universe, that emptiness which is full of energy. We can put a stop there for the time.
Yes, because from there we haven't yet seen the necessity of going beyond the energy.
Yeah.
We have to see that as necessary.
I think it is necessary.
Well, yes, but it has to be seen. You know, we have to bring that out. Why is it necessary?
Why is it necessary? Tentatively. Because there's something else that is operating. There's something else much greater. Right? I'm going slowly.
Yes.
What I'm trying to say is, wait a minute. I'm getting. I think there is something, sir, beyond that. I'm saying when I say I think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
Yeah. There's something beyond that. How can we talk about it. You see, energy exists only when there is emptiness, right?
Yes.
Huh?
Well,
oh, no, I won't put that. Together they go.
Well, energy, this pure energy is emptiness.
Huh?
This pure energy you talk about is emptiness.
Emptiness.
That is not felt as something. You
know. No. Now, if you, beyond that emptiness, sorry to talk about, not in terms of beyond.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Beyond means more, further.
Well, yes.
Time.
Yes, inwardly.
I don't know how to put it that way.
Yes, well. But are you trying to suggest what there's something, there's that which is beyond there, which the emptiness, the ground of the emptiness?
Yes.
Would that be something of the nature of a substance? You see, the question is, if it's not emptiness, then what is it?
I don't quite follow your question.
Well, you say something beyond emptiness, or, you know, other than emptiness.
I said there's emptiness.
Yes, and
which is energy.
Which is energy, energy. And then some, and beyond that.
Now, wait a minute. Are you all hanging on my words? What do you say, sir?
Well, you see, I think we can follow to the energy and the emptiness.
Yes.
Now, if we suggest something other to that, to the emptiness, right?
Okay, there's something other.
Yes, and that other must have some, be different from the emptiness. That is, you see, if you
yes,
say...
Sir. Yes, sir.
It is not emptiness, right?
No.
Is that right?
Let's go. What did you say just now?
I said something other to emptiness.
Uh-huh.
Which, therefore, is not emptiness. Does that make sense?
Then it's substance.
Yes, that's what I was... It seemed to be implied that it's, if it's not emptiness, it's substance.
Substance is matter, is
not
it?
Not necessarily, but having the quality of substance.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you see... Matter is a form of substance.
Yes.
In the sense that it...
Matter is energy.
It is energy, but having the form of substance as yes. well, because
yes.
it has a constant form, it resists change, it's stable, it's, you know, it maintains itself.
Yes.
Itself.
But when you use the word substance...
Yes.
Beyond emptiness, does that word... convey that does that word have a meaning then?
Well, we're exploring the possible meaning, you see, of what you want to say. Now, if you're saying it's not emptiness, then would not be substance as we know it in matter, but there are certain, we can see a certain quality which belongs to substance in general that if it has that quality, we could use the word substance, extend the meaning of the word substance.
Yeah, I understand. So could you use the word quality?
Well, you see, the word quality is not necessarily emptiness. You know, energy could have the quality of emptiness, you see.
Yes, I see.
And therefore something else, something other might have the quality of substance. That's the way I see it. I mean, is that what you're trying to say?
So there is something beyond emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
How should we tackle this?
Well, firstly, what leads you to say it, you see?
Huh?
What leads you to say this?
simply the fact that there is. We have been fairly logical all along, reasonable and fairly safe. So we have not been caught in any illusion so far, right? And can we keep that same kind of watchfulness in which there is no illusion to find out, or not find out, to for that which is beyond emptiness. To come down to earth. You don't see what I mean? Well,
yes.
Come down to earth in sense to be communicated. You follow what
I mean? Yes. Well, we can come back to the question before, why hasn't it come down?
Why hasn't it? Has man been ever free from the eye?
No. Well, not generally speaking, no. Yeah.
No. And it demands that the eye be end.
Yes, I see that. I think it would look, put it this way, that the ego becomes an illusion of that substance. That when you feel the ego is a substance too in some way.
Yes, ego is substance, quite right.
And therefore, that substance seems to be the
untouchable. I mean...
Yes.
Yes.
But it's that ego is an illusion of the true substance. You see, that the mind tries to create, it may be that the mind tries to create some sort of illusion of that substance.
That is an illusion. Why do you relate it to the other?
In the sense that if the mind thinks it already has a substance,
and then we are,
then it will not be open to it.
No, of course, of course, of course. Can that thing ever be put into words? I'm not saying I'm avoiding. You follow? It's not a question of avoiding or it's trying to slither out of some conclusion. But see, so far we put everything to words.
Yes. Well, I think that once something can be perceived, it generally can be put in words after. If anything can be properly perceived, then after a while the words come.
Yes.
To communicate.
But can that be perceived? And therefore communicable?
Is this beyond this thing? Beyond is, would you say also it's alive?
Huh?
It is life beyond emptiness. Is that still life?
Is that still alive?
Yeah, live, living.
Living, yeah. Oh yes.
And intelligent.
I don't want to use those words.
No. That's too limited.
Yes. Living, intelligence, love, compassion, it's all too limiting. So, you and I are sitting here we've come to a point and there is that thing which is perhaps later on might be put into words.
Yes.
Without any sense of pressure or intimation, without any sense of verbal communication, and so without any illusion, don't you don't you see beyond the wall? You know what I mean? We have come up to a certain point and we are saying there's something still more, you understand? There's something behind all that. Moment, is it palpable? Is it? Mm-hmm. Is it? You can touch it. You can. Is it something that the mind can capture? You follow?
Yes. Are you saying it's not?
I don't think it's possible for the mind to capture it. Capture, you understand what I mean?
Yes, well, grasping.
Grasping, understand. For the mind to look at it even. So you are a scientist, you examine the atom and so on and so on. Don't you when you have examined all that, don't you feel there's something much more beyond all that?
Well, we can always feel there's more beyond that, but it doesn't tell you what it is, right?
No, but you know there's something much more beyond that.
It's clear that whatever you know, it's limited.
Yes.
And there must be more beyond, right?
Yes.
I mean,
how can it become? How can that communicate with you, so that you, with your scientific knowledge, with your brain capacity, and so on, how can you grasp it?
No, you're saying it can't be grasped.
No. How can you grasp it? Let me not. I don't say you can't grasp it, or can you grasp it?
Yeah, well, I'm a little, it's not clear. You were saying before that it's ungraspable by the
No, a grasp in the sense. Can your mind, highly trained, capable of perception, you know, beyond theories and so on. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to say, can you move into it? Not move, you understand what I mean? Move means time and all that. Can you what am I trying to say? Can you enter it? Now, that's all words. Now, what is beyond emptiness? Is it silence?
Or isn't that similar to emptiness, really?
Yes, that's what I'm step by step. Is it silence? Or is silence part of emptiness?
Yes, I should say that.
I should say that too. If it is not silence, could we say, just a minute, Sam, just ask, could we say it is something absolute? You understand?
Well, I mean, we could consider that, you know, the absolute, but we can consider this absolute. Right? It would have to be, you know, something totally independent is what it really means, yeah, absolute. You know, it doesn't depend on anything.
Yes. Yes, sir. Hmm? I'm glad we're getting somewhere near it.
I mean, entirely entirely self-moving, as it were, self-active,
yes.
Right?
Would you say everything has a cause, and that has no cause at all?
All right, we can say, you see, this notion is already an old one, you know.
Huh?
This notion has been developed by, you know, say, even by Aristotle.
By
Aristotle.
Aristotle, yes.
That this absolute is the cause of itself, right?
Yes.
He may have said
no,
God.
No,
right?
I won't.
It has no cause in a sense, right? But that's the same thing, right?
See, the moment you said Aristotle, it is not that. How shall we get at this? Emptiness is part of... Emptiness is energy. And in that emptiness, that emptiness exists in silence, or the other way around, doesn't matter. Right?
Right.
Oh yes, sir, there's something beyond all this. Probably it can never be put into words.
Well, perhaps.
Huh?
As far as we can tell, anyway.
Huh?
As far as we can tell. Right?
Yeah. But I wouldn't... It must be put into words.
Yes.
You follow it?
Yes, well... You're saying the absolute must be put into words, and yet we feel it can't be. You see, that
yes.
Any attempt to put it into words makes it relative. Right?
Yes. And... I don't know how to put this, all this. Hmm.
You see, I think that we have a long history of, you know, of danger with the absolute. You know, that people have put it in words and it has become very oppressive, right?
No, but, I leave over the wall back.
Hmm.
Being ignorant of what other people have said, Aristotle, even the Buddha and so on. It has an advantage. You follow? You understand what I mean? It is an advantage in the sense that you are not, the mind is not colored by other people's ideas. It's not caught in other people's statements. And it's part of our conditioning and so on, all that. Now, if you go beyond all that, what are we trying to do, sir?
Well, I think communicate regarding this absolute, this beyond.
I took away that word immediately.
What? Yeah, whatever it is, the beyond, what is beyond emptiness and silence.
Beyond all that. There is beyond all that.
As we're saying, the difficulty is
that all that is something part of an immensity.
Yes, well, I mean, even the emptiness and silence is an immensity, isn't it?
Huh?
The energy is itself an immensity. You know.
Yes, but I understand that. But there's something much more immense. I don't.
Right.
I know. So that emptiness and silence and energy is immense. It's really immeasurable. But there is something that's. I'm using the word greater than that. I don't know. Why do you accept all this?
Well, I'm just considering. See, looking at it, I mean, but I can see that whatever you say about emptiness or about any other thing, that there's something beyond, right?
No, as a scientist, yeah. Why do you accept what... Not accept, forgive right. me for using that word. Why do you even with the other chap?
Yes, well, because we've come this far step by step.
Huh?
We've come this far, step by step, seeing the necessity of each step.
Yeah. So you see, all that's very logical.
Yes.
Reasonable, sane.
And also, you know, I've seen one can see that it's so, right?
Yes. So if I say there is something greater than all this, silence, energy. Would you accept that?
Well, I...
No, accept in the sense, up to now, we have been logical.
Yes, we say that whatever, anything you say, that, you know, there's certainly something beyond it.
So
if you say, whatever you say, you carry whatever you say to silence, energy, or whatever, then there's always room, logically, for something beyond that.
Beyond that, yes.
See, that is not the final, but...
That's not... That's not the end.
Yes, but even if you were to say there is something, see, the point is this, that even if you were to say there is some thing beyond that, but still, it would logically, you could leave room for going again beyond that.
No.
Well, that's the question.
That's the point.
Why is that?
That's the point.
You see, because...
Yes, sir.
Say, whatever you say, there's always room, logically, for something beyond.
Of course. That's what I... There is nothing beyond.
Yes, now how... I mean, that point you see is not clear, you see, because why...
Yes, there is nothing beyond. I'll stick to that. Not dogmatically or obstinately. I feel that's the beginning and the ending of everything. So, just in ordinary parlance, in ordinary communication, the ending and the beginning are the same. Right?
In which sense?
Yes, sir. You see something in this.
You mean in the sense you're using the beginning of everything as the ending of everything?
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. You'll see that?
Yes. I mean, that if we take the ground from which it comes, it must be the ground to which it falls,
yes,
right?
Yes, falls. That's right. That is the ground. Mm-hmm. Right?
All right.
Upon which... Not upon... Please.
Well, it's a figure of speech.
Right? Yeah, figure of... Upon which everything exists. Mm-hmm. Space.
Energy.
Energy. Emptiness. Silence. All that is on that. Not ground, you understand?
Yeah, but I mean, we just say it's a figure. Yes, it's a metaphor.
Right. There's nothing beyond it.
This ground has no cause. I say the ground has no cause.
No cause, of course. If we have a cause, then we have a ground.
You have another ground.
Yeah. No. That's the beginning and the ending. Yes, sir.
No, that's
right.
Becoming more clear then.
That's right. Does that convey anything to
me? Yes, well, I think, conveys something, yes.
Uh-huh.
It conveys something.
Something. And so would you say further, there is no beginning and no ending?
Yes, well, it's all emerging. This ground, it comes from the ground, and goes to the ground, but it does not begin or end, right?
Yeah, there's no beginning and no ending.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. The implications of... Renewals. Yeah. Is that, sir, death? Not death, not in the sense I died. Mm-hmm. Is that complete ending of everything?
Yes, well, you see, at first you would have said that the emptiness is the ending of everything. So let's, in what sense is this more now?
That, I'm trying to get at that thing.
Well, let's get at it, yes. Now, look, we began, emptiness ends, or emptiness is the ending of things, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Is now, that death?
What?
This emptiness?
Well, that's...
Death of everything the mind has cultivated.
Right. Now, in what sense is it not, then?
What?
Why
emptiness
is it not?
Emptiness is not... that emptiness is not the product of the mind, of the particular mind.
Yes, it's the universal mind.
Yeah. That emptiness is that.
Yes.
That emptiness can only exist when there is death of the particular.
Yes, the particular goes.
When there is total death of the particular.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if I'm convinced.
Yes, all right, that's the emptiness. That.
No, I won't. Huh?
All right, now, but then you're saying there's further, that in this ground, death goes further.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Right. So we say the ending of the particular, the death of the particular, is the emptiness.
Yes.
Which is the universal.
Yes.
Now, are you going to say that the universal also dies?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm trying to say.
Into the ground.
Does it convey anything?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah. Just hold it a minute. Let's see. I think it conveys something, sir. Does it?
Yes, of course, it's hard to...
Yeah.
Yes, well, now if the particular and the universal die, then...
Yes, sir.
Then that is death, right?
Yeah. After all... I don't know, I'm not an astrologer, astronomer. Everything is in the universe is dying, exploding, dying.
Yes, but of course you could suppose that there was something beyond, you know.
Yes, yes, that's just it.
All right, then I think we're moving. That the universal and the particular, first the particular dies into the emptiness. And
yes, sir.
Then comes the universal.
And that dies too.
Into the ground, right?
Yes, sir.
But I'd say the ground is neither born nor dies, right?
That's right.
Yes, well, I think it becomes almost inexpressible if you say the universal is gone.
Yes, sir.
Because that expression is the universal.
You see, may I just explain? Everything is dying, except that.
All right.
Right? Does this convey anything?
Yes, well, it is out of that that everything arises and into which it dies, right?
Yeah. So that has no beginning and ending.
Yes. But what would it mean to have to talk of the ending of the universal, you see, or to... Well, see...
What?
It's, what would it mean to have the ending of the universal, you know?
Nothing. Why should it have meaning if it is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you, what has that to do with man? You follow what I'm
saying? Yes.
Man who is going through terrible time and all the rest of it, what has that got to do with man?
Well, it's clear that man feels he must have some contact with the ultimate ground. If his life, otherwise there's no meaning, you see.
But it hasn't.
What?
That ground hasn't any relationship with man.
Well, at least apparently not.
Huh?
Apparently not.
No. Well, he's killing himself. He's doing everything contrary to the ground.
Yes. So that's why life has no meaning for man.
So what I'm asking, I'm an ordinary man.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, you have talked marvelously, it sounds excellent. What has that got to do with me?
Well, yes, sir.
How will that or your talk help me to get over my ugliness? My wife quarrels with me. She's whatever it is. And I, what, you're an excellent talk?
Well, I think I would go back and say we went into this logically, starting from the suffering of mankind, showing it originates in the wrong turning.
Yes.
That leads inevitably.
Now, help me, he says, to get to the right turn. Mm. Put me on the right path. And to that you say, please. Don't become anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you see, sir.
Well, what is the problem then?
He won't even listen to you.
Yes, well now it seems to me then we have to, it's necessary for the one who sees this to find out what is the barrier to listening.
Oh, yes. Obviously, you can see what's the barrier.
What is the barrier?
Ah.
Yes, but I meant more deeply so that one could
penetrate. Deeply? All our thoughts, all our, you know, deep attachments and all that is in your will. If you can't leave that, you'll have no relationship with that. But he doesn't want to leave all that.
Yes, I understand that. But what he wants is the result of the way he's thinking.
Yeah, what he wants is some comfortable, easy way of living without any trouble. And he can't have that.
No. Well, only by dropping all this.
Yes, sir.
But.
There must be a connection. Otherwise,
a connection.
Huh? There must be some relationship with the ground and this, with ordinary man. Otherwise, what is the meaning of a living?
Yes, well, that's what I was trying to say before, that without that...
There is no meaning.
Yes. And then people invent meaning. And
of course, I mean... Then, Billy Graham does it every day.
But even, we're going back, the ancient religions have said similar things, that God is the ground.
Yeah.
And they say, seek God, you know.
No, this isn't God.
Yes, it's not God, but I mean, it's playing the same... it has... You could say that God was an attempt to put this notion a bit too personally, perhaps. Yes.
Give him hope, give him faith, you follow, make life a little more comfortable to live.
Well, are you asking, first at this point, how is this to be conveyed to the ordinary man? Is that your question?
Yes, more or less. And also, it's important that he should listen to this.
Yes, I meant exactly that.
You're a scientist. You're good enough to listen because we have friends. But who will listen among your friends? He said, what the hell are you talking about? I feel so if one pursues this, we'll have a marvelously ordered world.
Yes, and what will we do in this world? I mean, you see, and what will we do in this world?
Live.
Yeah, but I mean, you see, we said something about creativity before.
Yes. I mean, if you have no conflict, no eye, there's something else operating. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's important to say that because, you know, say the Christian idea of heaven as perfection may seem rather boring, you know. Because there's nothing to do.
That reminds me of a good joke. You waiting for the joke? Man dies and goes to St. Peter. St. Peter says, you have lived a fairly good life. You have not cheated too much. But before you enter into this heaven, I must tell you one thing. Here, we're all bored. We're all awfully serious. God never laughs. And every angel is moody, depressed. And unless you want to enter this world, hesitate. But, he says, before you come in, perhaps you would like to go down below and see what it's like. And then come and tell me. It's up to you. So he says, Peter says, ring that bell. Lift will come up. You get into it. Go down. So chap goes, rings the bell, goes down, and the gates open. And he's met by the most beautiful girls, etc., etc., etc. I said, and he said, by Jove, this is the life. So, and he says, may I go up and tell Peter? And so he rings the bell, gets into the lift and goes up. He said, sir, it's very good of you to have offered me the choice. I prefer down below. And Peter says, I thought so. So he rings the bell, goes down, opens the gate. Two people meet him and beat him up. Push him all around and so on. He said, just a minute. A minute ago I came here, you treated me like a king. Ah, you're a tourist there. Sorry. From the sublime to the ridiculous. Which is good too. So we must continue this some other time. Because there is something that has got to be put into words.
That seems impossible.
We'll see. we've gone pretty far. Mm.
The Immeasurable Podcast is a project of the Krishnamurti Center, funded by the Krishnamurti Foundation of America. For information on our online community, programs, and how to support this work, please visit kfa.org.